This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, I'm Ray.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
We've kind of just delved into a deep dive about surrogacy today on the show, haven't we,
Ray? And just like making babies and doing things with your body, all of that. Well, when Dean and I put the word out there the other week that we wanted to talk to experts in their field, never did we think we would get a response that said, naturopathic queer reproductive health and fertility expert. Yet when we did, we knew we wouldn't miss the opportunity get Sage King live with us on Joy Breakfast to talk about supporting the LGBTQIA+ community in healthcare. Sage, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, lovely people.
Absolute pleasure. Now,
so those applause go on forever. These people are really excited to have you here.
Now, I need to understand. So firstly, what is the main responsibility of a naturopathic queer reproductive health and fertility specialist? Because that is a mouthful. And I'm like, what?
Totally. So I work with a lot of people on a range of different conditions when it comes to reproductive healthcare. And so my role tends to be that of a primary healthcare provider, I suppose similar to that of a GP for people looking for alternative and holistic support, diet, lifestyle, that type of thing. But a lot of the work that I do in the fertility and reproductive health space is collaborating with a range of different other health professionals too. So lots of referrals and talking to GPs and fertility specialists, and we get cross referrals that way to support our patients.
Wow. Well, I saw a great explanation on your Instagram about what is reproductive health. Is it all about making babies?
It's not all about making babies. And, you know, regardless of your gender identity or sexual orientation, everyone has reproductive organs, and there's lots of things that I suppose can go wrong or we have issues with. So, you know, the work that I do too may be for people with period pain, or maybe they've got erectile dysfunction outside of trying to conceive. So a lot of that work and looking in how your entire lifestyle influences that. So is it a stress component to that, or is it there a dietary component to that, or are there things you know, related to stress or sleep that are actually driving those other conditions?
I never thought about that whole picture being kind of a part of the story.
Yeah.
But it does kind of make sense. And now that you put it out there, like, I think we always hear about food in relation to how people like to make a baby, like certain food gets you in the mood, but I never thought about certain food kind of helping you change gears internally.
Totally, and not just food too. So we do use nutritional medicine. We use herbs when they're indicated. There's just so much that you can do. It's about finding out what's specific for that individual, because the way that one person presents with the exact same condition will be very, very different.
And I think what we think about as well, like, there's the obvious stress that a person goes through when they have conceived a child, when they're, you know, conceiving a child and carrying a child, the stress that the body goes through. And as many same-sex couples may know who have been trying to look into it, there's a lot of stress comes trying to figure out how do we navigate this journey. But you've got to find a way for your body to connect as a whole, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I speak to my patients all the time. As Rach knows very well, you need three things to make a baby. You need egg, sperm, and a uterus. And they can come from all different kinds of people in that scenario. And so the work that I do is making healthy people to make healthy babies, because your health preconception will actually determine the health outcomes of your offspring as they grow up into an adult.
So there's that other thing to add to the list.
Yeah, totally.
So speaking of preconception, what are some of the things that people can do if that is something that they want to look into, is starting a family? What can they do before they start?
Yeah, well, look, doing a general health assessment is really important, and you can just do that through your GP. But in terms of things that you can do right now, you know, looking at your endocrine disrupting chemical exposure, so people don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that
just
is.
Just whatever that is.
Yeah. So within our environment, you know, we think about plastics and like parabens in our skincare and our body care. Can they disrupt our hormone communication in our body. And so if you can do simple swaps, like swapping plastic to glass, or swapping, on the go water bottles made of plastic to this emotional support drink bottle, Frank Green, that I'm holding right here, you can have a really big impact on how your hormones are functioning within your body. And that's a really simple thing that people can do that doesn't cost them much at all.
It's blowing my mind a little bit.
And I have just had a little mind blow moment, because my pregnancy with Ari was the first transfer I've ever had, first time ever attempting to get pregnant, and it worked straight away. And I wonder if by having a hair and makeup background, I'm very aware of things like parabens, just knowing that they're bad. And so all of the things that I use avoid things like parabens. So maybe without even realizing it, I was helping my preconception.
You did.
Oh, you look totally at it go. Did.
Oh, you are so good.
Although, girl. Says me with my emotional support drink bottle that is definitely made of plastic. Is it okay if it's hard plastic? But no.
No.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
I'm learning
so much about how I'm doing everything wrong.
I think Dean and I still have a million more questions for you, Sage. Hang with us.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
We've just gotten a message in from JJ saying, hey everyone, I've just woken up. Sorry, I'm a little bit late. What have I missed? Well, JJ, you have missed such an amazing show. We've had children, we've had surrogacy, we've had parents, we've had so much going on.
And now we're joined live in the studio by Sage King, who, let me read it out, is a naturopathic, queer, reproductive health and fertility expert. It's really hard to say fast, though.
It is. I'm just a naturopath.
A naturopath.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just deals with queer, reproductive, infertility health.
Exactly.
And for us as well, that's for our communities, it's having someone that's focusing on what the needs are for us, because we often think, yeah, we're all people, so medically everything should be the same and how we communicate and indicate should be the same. But when it comes to queers, we live our lives differently, our experiences are different, so it's great to be able to have people that know and are connecting those dots for us.
Yeah, and I would say most queer people, when they think about wanting to conceive, they go, oh, well, we just have to do IVF. Is this always the case?
No, it's not always the case. And with known donors, you can do home insemination. And so that is something that I support patients through. Sometimes I have same-sex lesbian couples coming to see me and they bring their known donor along and we get all three of them healthy in that process. But in other times it is maybe they've tried IVF and haven't necessarily been all that successful. And so they're looking at the why. And so I help them navigate that and kind of do a big deep dive into their health and look at the causes as to why that may be the case.
Now, IVF is quite a... I'm going to just a pickle of a situation. Yeah. It is, there is so many loopholes and processes. Is there a streamlined way of just getting some information to people who are interested in going through that process?
There absolutely is if you come to me. So myself and one of my wonderful colleagues, Josephine Cabral, put together a free hour-long IVF Explained webinar for people. They can just access that from our website, and it takes them through all different types of IVF, from egg freezing and collection to IUI and IVF. So it'll take you through that. And we've also added in some of our top tips that we give to our patients when they see us one-on-one in terms of what to ask their fertility specialist along the way, so that if they do need to come and see someone like us or they're working with us, they know what data to collect so that if we don't get the desired outcome, we can use that to then improve their next cycle.
I guess what I'm thinking about now, because hearing all of this, my brain is going, oh my God, there's so much.
Yes.
If you were just, I mean, I know everyone is different and this is possibly going to seem like a really silly question, but if there was something, anyone that's thinking about it, obviously going to see someone or thinking about what you want to do, what's a baseline thing you could start to do today, right now, to kind of shift a gear for yourself or take more knowledge of how you're living your life so that you can step into something a bit better?
Are you talking about investigations beforehand or diet? Or?
I think I'm thinking more diet, because a part of me, we're talking about things that head and heart and we're so used to going to people and going, give me the answer so then I can do the work.
Yeah.
But there's so much stress that goes on in trying to think about surrogacy and think about what you're doing and thinking about how you're engaging with this. What's a good way for people to level themselves before they come to see people when they're looking at this tsunami of information?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is it, right? There's so much information out there, and I have so many patients come to me going, help, I feel like I'm doing everything wrong. And so it really is just making healthy swaps in your life can make a really big difference. Like, eat 3 cups of vegetables a day. You would be surprised at how many. I'm seeing Dean laughing at this.
A day?
I'm like, that's my monthly average.
What are you talking about?
But, you know, getting all of those really important antioxidants for healthy cell regeneration and you know, that results in healthy eggs and sperm. Like, that's a really simple way that you can start to get those nutrients that your body needs to create those healthy cells for a baby.
Brilliant. Well, look, Sage, we could ask you questions all day, but I think what we're going to do is we're going to invite you back. So are you happy to come back, chat with us again?
We would love to
deep dive into some of the other foods that you can do, and we can challenge Dean to eat 3 cups of vegetables in a day.
I love that idea.
Oh, all right. The challenge is on because I'm already feeling bad.
So thank you so much for coming in and sharing your career with us, your passion. It has been very eye-opening, and we look forward to learning more about naturopathic queer reproductive health and fertility. I just like trying to say that fast and it fails every time.
But I know, but I still love hearing it because it's a big, it's why limit down to just one word when the whole picture fits in perfectly.
Fit the alphabet in with a bunch of other words at the same time.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sage. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.